Did you guys go through the M&M first when you were like 15 or like 13?
Yeah, of course I did.
Yeah, did you, man?
Somewhat, not
Some,
hugely.
like
So I don't really have
some of
huge
his main
memory of
songs. Yeah.
that. Benny was more of a Tchaikovsky guy.
What was I was a Bach at two times speed guy. It was great.
Bach at two times speed.
What'd
Fuck
you say
you.
about Deutsch? Hey, that's is, did you say he listened to it fast?
Yeah, he listened. That was the inside
Is that
joke
real?
there. Yeah.
Deutsch listened to it like three times.
That's insane. Why would he do
It's
that?
so funny. It's one of the funniest things
Well,
ever.
it's quite a good answer,
I've done it
actually.
a
If you
few
like
times
Bach,
though.
only at two times.
Yeah, only a few times. It really brings out some of the motifs.
Right, shall we?
What do we think?
Do we want to go through each thing and talk about them, or do people want to just start with the ones they want to talk about the most, and then we'll see where we get to?
Maybe let's just go through each one and see if we have something to say, and if we don't have anything to say, we'll just move on.
Yep. Sounds good.
Hi, Rich here. So there are 23 different stories in this collection, or even more if you count each of the brief interviews separately. So I think it was actually a mistake for us to try and talk about each of them. The discussion ended up being super fragmented and messy and not that interesting. Our next recording, we had a much tighter focus and we had a really good chat. So perhaps you might want to skip straight ahead to that one. But I've chopped this down to two stories in particular from this first section where there's, I think that was actually worth salvaging, which is Forever Overhead and The Depressed Person. So you can check those out in this episode. I just wanted to do a little note just in case there's any weird continuity stuff going on. All right, here it is.
Forever Overhead, this is the 13-year-old diving board one.
Yeah, this is my favorite one. I think this one's really fucking good.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. What do you think, Benny?
Yeah, I liked it. To be honest, I'm confused about the ending.
Yeah, me too.
Is it ambiguous on purpose? Like, I'm actually not sure if I'm having trouble understanding what happened or if it's left ambiguous on purpose.
Yeah, I
Like,
like.
does he like well, does he jump? Like, what happens?
I think he does. I think that's what the hello means, the very last sentence, the last paragraph. It implies that he's like taking the step and saying, like, I don't know, I was interpreting it as like hello to adulthood or something like that, because it's a sort of rite of passage transitional thing. But I actually don't like the ending. I really like the whole story, but I don't like it, like the last five lines, or the last five paragraphs. It gets too abstract and purple, and I think he did not stick the landing on that one.
Just coming from Virginia Woolf, mate. This is too abstract, mate. Come on.
Well, it's like the rest of the poem, the rest of it like
Yeah,
strikes
it
a
broke
nice
style.
balance where
Yeah.
it's super poetic, but you know what's happening. And then at the end, it just seems almost a bit like word salad. I don't want to say that it is word salad, but yeah, we could go through and try and interpret it.
Well, just to answer Benny's question around did he jump or not? I mean, my interpretation of it was yes, and like it's inevitable, like you kind of have to jump no matter your choice. Like, and that's kind of demonstrated in the what he talks about with time and like the bee moves, keeps flapping his wings and just to stay still. Like, there's no stopping time, and like, even when he thinks time stopped, and then he gets woken up by someone yelling out to jump, like, and then he suddenly realizes time's been gone. Like, it's just this inevitable march forward to adulthood or death or the beginning of something, or religion, or like whatever you're sort of jumping towards.
I see. So step into the skin and disappear is like step into this role that's determined for you in some sense. Like you can think about it all you want, but you're gonna end up jumping because that's the way of the world. And so it's like stepping into your body, your skin, which is gonna do this thing, and your head just has to wrap itself around that fact.
The skin is about the patches of dead skin on the board. So it's like this really
Well, the
cool.
thing is a double entendre, I suppose.
I don't think so. It's like he's talking about the two
No, I think
black
you're right. I
lines
didn't
of
notice that, but
skin.
you're right around the black ovals, the vague
That's
black
beautiful,
ovals.
right? It's saying like you follow in the footsteps of all who have come before you. Everyone has been at this juncture and everyone's done this. It's really gross because it's like tiny bits of
Yeah,
torn up
that's fine.
skin that have like blackened in the sun. But I was like,
I think Benny's right, though. I think you can read it the other way. And I think, like, I mean, Wallace loved wordplay and languages.
But what's the other
Or like,
meaning?
Yeah, maybe not, but into your own skin, like step into your.
Your role, like step into this role that like everyone before you has done and that you now need to do.
Yeah, I guess so.
Like being yourself in your skin. It's definitely mainly the step into the black ovals.
So you've redeemed it for me, actually, Cam. Because yeah, it's like the board will nod and you will go. So it's about the inevitability of all of this, right?
But this one I think will stick with me. Whenever you have something tough to do, I'll be thinking about the little kid climbing
It's a
up the
great
diving
metaphor, right?
board.
Just being on
Yeah.
this board and like, but like the just the literal reading of it, like what I quite liked about it is it felt very real. Like it felt like very relatable and like almost like a
Yeah, it
mem
really did.
like your
Yeah.
own memory, because it's like written in second person, right? Like you do this, you do that. So you really kind of like running this boy's thoughts through your mind and kind of feel like you're living them. And like I actually remember like being scared on a diving board once as well, and like it feel and like but even the small details, he like sort of climbs the ladders and it's like denting his foot and like
Yeah. You're like, wow, this hurts more than I thought it was gonna hurt. It's like,
and like
why don't they put fucking steps on this
and then
thing?
like the fat woman
Yeah.
in front of him like smushed into a bathing suit and just like noticing that sort of thing. And then
Hairy animal men. I remember when I was a kid. I mean, I don't remember, but now I do, thinking like men are like some different
The
species. And
hairy
then
men were
the,
cool.
yeah,
They
disproportionate
were.
boys, all necks and legs and knobby joints, shallow chested and vaguely bird-like you. And I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what it was like to be this, like to be a child in a world of adults is so
And then you
weird.
guys see this big man in the changing room, like naked, just like hairy ass, and just,
Yeah,
and
yeah.
you can't even believe how big people are. Like, it
yeah.
just seems, you're like, there's no way I'll ever be that big. You're looking at your tiny little arms and tiny little wobbly knees and elbows, just thinking, how are humans this big? It's
Yeah.
bizarre.
And I love like how he's in this queue that he can't exit, he says now, like once he's in it. And like metaphorically, of course, that's like kind of the inevitability and or the, once you made a decision.
It's so relatable. Everything about it is very relatable, but it's hilarious to me that the central olfactory image is like jizz, but like the smell of jizz being reminiscent of chlorine, like a chlorine swimming pool. And it's like a perversion of Proust or something with the Madelines, where it's like, and now every time I smell the chlorine pool, I remember when I came in my pants in sixth grade or whatever.
I always remember like opening a fresh pack of burger rings. I'm not sure if they have them outside of New Zealand, Australia. Like, kind of had that faint smell as well.
I've
Chlorine
never thought
jizz
about
smell.
the chlorine comparison, but it's a pretty good comparison.
Oh, have you never thought about chlorine jizz comparison?
No, I don't think I've like consciously noticed that before.
You ain't sniffing your jizz enough, mate. The other thing is around when he's in the line at one point, I forgot where it says, at some point there's more people behind you than in front of you. When you take that metaphorically, kind of like existentially, like around life, like in terms of him going to adulthood, but like, you're still young as a 13-year-old, but at some point in your life, you kind of you realize that the
Yeah.
line in front of you is shorter, and it's kind of depressing.
I think this is like some of his best writing that I can remember.
It's quite like direct and straightforward for Wallace as well, which is
Yeah.
like I don't know when he wrote this. I think he might have wrote this quite early on. It's almost like what he was trying to achieve later.
Yeah. I think it strikes a nice balance because it's not like on the nose or anything. Like you have to think about it a little bit to be like, oh yeah,
Yeah,
it's
but I just
coming
mean
of
like in
age
terms of all
type
that like
thing.
postmodern shit and footnotes and.
I have kind of a meta comment around that, which I might as well say now, which is that I think some of his tics actually get pretty annoying with like overuse. If you're reading like a collection of short stories, you kind of want like different voices and styles and stuff, and it's pretty annoying when he does like the same things in all of them, of like the parenthetical clarifying what the object of the sentence is, especially when it's really obvious. And it's just like, I don't know, like it's
That's
funny to
very
think
Wallace.
that that's like, yeah, that's like a thing that
I
a
mean, that
character
happened heaps
in
in
the
the
story
Depressed
might
Person,
do.
right? I do a bit more of that now because sometimes it's vague. And I
But
don't know what to do
he
about it.
doesn't just do it when it's vague. He does it when it's there's not even another
It was a
interpretation.
stylistic choice, for that story. Was he doing it elsewhere? I know he's done it before. Like I've definitely read it in Wallace before.
Well, he does it in Infinite Jest, and you know the footnotes, and like you know the basically pointless footnotes. And yeah, I actually had the first experience reading this book where I was a bit annoyed with it and being like, okay, like that's clever. Like maybe do it once or do it twice or something, but like don't just
Getting a
keep
bit over
doing the
Wallace.
same thing because it's not that funny. And it makes all the characters become like the same character as well. You should be coming up with like different stylistic ticks for different characters.
Yeah, and I suppose this was a relief of that, this story.
Yeah. I wish he had more writing like this rather than all the like self-referential multiple layers of irony
Well, I think sometimes this sort of stuff
self-righteous
is
stuff.
in within Infinite Jest, right? There's like little parts that are just like quite
Yeah, there are, yeah.
plain stories. And I wondered if this was illusion. There's John Barth is like one of the fathers of postmodern fiction and wrote the story Into the Funhouse, and for the first time started doing these things of pointing out that it's a story and pointing out that this is a metaphor and stuff. And one of the things he did was when the characters dive into a pool, then one of his asides was like, this would be a great chance to point out that this could be a metaphor of like diving into, I don't know, I can't remember, it was like adulthood or whatever.
Yeah.
But and I know Wallace was like, Wallace actually wrote a short story in direct response to that.
Was he a fan of that or mocking it?
He first became a huge fan of it, and then he realized this was his whole new sincerity thing. Then he realized like actually this is like this is just the author trying to be clever himself,
Yeah.
and it isn't giving anything to the reader, and it's just like this kind of solipsistic thing.
The Barbie movie was doing that kind of metafiction nonsense, where it was like Margot Robbie says she's not that attractive, and then the narrator is like, "Oh, we realize that casting Margot Robbie for this role is not exactly bolstering her argument here," or something like that. It's like, shut the fuck up! Like, just commit to the script and to what you want to say, and don't be like hedging everything and trying to like preempt criticism or like
I
just.
mean, it's a hard balance because sometimes that's fine and cool, and then sometimes it's self-indulgent and.
It reads as lack of confidence to me. You can always like hide behind a layer of like, oh, I pointed it out. I pointed it out first, so you can't say that it's hack or you can't
Well,
criticize
like
it.
Wallace kind of does that, and then he like also does like I'm aware that this is maybe what I'm doing,
Yeah.
and then it's and like he just uses it as a double bind and be like you can't get out of it.
Well, yeah, he just stops after a certain number of layers of like reflexiveness so that everyone else is lost, right? But like I don't know, it can be dazzling, but I don't know, maybe it's just from because we've been reading so much Wallace that it's like it's not what you always want in a
Too
story.
soon, too soon.
No,
Then you go back to Wolf.
I fucking love the guy, he's fantastic. Maybe short story collections shouldn't be read all in one go or something. I don't know, I mean I have read half the book as well, so I've
Yeah, I
probably
was
read a bit
wondering
more
that
than
as
you.
well. Like,
There is an element of that, yeah.
but I think like some authors, I imagine they said this collection is meant to be read together. Like it's a book, and the form a whole, and maybe this one does as well.
But is that true? Because all of these stories, well, a bunch of them are published in like Harper's or wherever. So,
Yeah, so
like, it's
sometimes
not
it
like he
seems like
actually
a.
architected them all to come together. I'm sure they're thematically similar.
I would like to know if he wrote all the brief interviews with hideous men. Like, was that originally published somewhere as its own thing, just the transcripts? And then are all these other short stories random other pieces that were published elsewhere? Because it's an interesting choice. To mix in brief interviews with other essays
Yeah.
if they have nothing to do with one
That
another.
makes me feel like it is kind of, there's meant to be an overarching theme that maybe they don't all fit perfectly with. I mean, I think I heard Zadie Smith say one of the themes of this book is like running someone else's thought procedure. But which kind of happens whenever you read anything. Like that's kind of what reading is. But like she said it's the emphasis on this is quite strong, and like that's what we're doing with the brief interviews of like these guys, and we're like running their thoughts through us, and like even in Forever Ahead, that's what we're doing, like with this young kid.
There's some amazing attempts at transferring subjective experience. Yeah. The depressed person you are like that. I mean, we got to talk about that, but yeah.
Yeah, we should probably pick up the pace here because we're 20 pages in.
All right, so what was the next one?
what's this archetype called? Like a kind
What's it
of,
about again?
it's this guy who's just like, I don't even know how to describe it, like really
Oh,
manipulative with his feelings.
that's right. He leaves her because she's so anxious about him leaving her,
About him
and
leaving,
she's
yeah.
wrong, and he thinks she's wrong, and that's ultimately why he leaves her.
Me leaving is not the confirmation of your fears about me. It's because of that.
Yeah,
Fruitless
I found this
lie.
both like simultaneously like true and like capturing a thing that happens and it's how to justify it, and
Yeah.
like and a demonstration of like total like manipulation and like toxicity and like and narcissism as well. Like it's sort of I felt like I captured both.
But I mean, so to be fair to the guy, I mean, it is exhausting to be with someone who's continually questioning whether it's a romantic partnership or just a normal friendship
No, I agree.
relationship.
No, that's what I was saying.
It's
Like, I think it's
exhausting to
definitely
be with
true.
someone who's
But then the
constantly
recursion is like, well,
worried.
why is she like that? And it's probably because of the what he's like. Like,
No,
it's a chicken and egg
it
problem,
is.
right?
There's like hints in the story. This is like the fifth time that he's done it or something. He's like, oh, I know that you might feel it's because of all the other times didn't
Yeah, but
exactly
like,
make you feel
potentially,
secure. So
those
it's
are
like,
justified as
okay.
well,
That's true.
right?
He says, like, it's not like I'm saying given our history, I deserve a whole lot of trust right off the
Yeah.
bat. So
No,
that's a good
this
point.
guy
Yeah.
is
He's
the piece of
obviously done
shit.
some shit to her.
He's like, what is,
What?
or maybe it's gaslighting, I guess, or something, right?
Well,
It's
I
like
think like it's not
making her
obvious to
think it's
solve
her
it.
fault.
Like I think like yep, he's probably gaslighting. Yep, she's probably difficult. It's kind of hard to get the chicken and egg, and maybe they perpetuate each other. And like, or you could just read it one way or the other, and like probably he's just gaslighting. But
I think it's pretty straightforwardly like someone transforming themselves into the victim and like not owning their own behavior, right? So even at the end, he's like, "Well, now you're all upset. Well, have you thought about how that might make me feel? You know, like spare some thoughts that I might be pretty torn up about it too. Like it's just,
But
I think
yeah.
you're right, but I think there's like also it's kind of Benny was saying, like you also have to think for this guy as well. They're like, if this was happening, of like this person being so unreasonable.
Well,
No,
but if he
I don't
caused
think
it, I
that's
think
what
that
I
subverts
don't
my
think
argument,
that's
right? Like,
well, like if he's
yeah,
not
I
causing
don't.
it, that's
There's
what
like lots of clues in here that that's not the case, but I don't want to argue it. But yeah, I don't think it's meant to be like that.
Yeah, I think I agree with Richard. I take back my earlier point.
The recursion in here is clever. He's blaming her for reacting to his bad behavior, but claiming that her reaction to his bad behavior is the root cause of his bad behavior. So they're kind of like arguing about what the first mover is or something, like chicken and egg type thing.
Yeah.
Then we got this airport arrival hall story, which is basically like a
Nice.
Shaggy Dog joke, right? Like,
Yeah.
then what happened? You really gotta ask. Yeah. Yeah, this, okay, I actually was gonna say this last time, and like, I agree that these guys are hideous men, but there's something about these stories where I think like you kind of relate to like aspects of it, and you're like, yeah, I could kind of imagine that. I could kind of imagine being in that situation or doing that, and like that's the hideous part of us. And then there's like something male about it, and something even when you're aware of it, and then you like still are slightly sympathetic
Yeah.
to it, and like yeah, like this tragic story of this woman showing up. Who's been left by this person, by this guy, and like your heart goes out, and like his heart genuinely goes out to her, like he feels terrible for her, and like when he says like men are shit, like he means it, like this is horrible, and then it's like, but you
Then he
can't turn it
uses her
down,
for his
it's because
own
she's the girl
sexual
with the tits, right?
gratification.
Yeah, and like, and you're like, yeah, that's so true, and yeah, like who keeps referring to her as the girl with the tits, right? Yeah, what's the Shaggy Dog joke? Is that like
It's
kind
like
of a Norm Macdonald joke?
you tell a long story,
Yeah.
and then it ends with like a silly,
Kind of a Norm Macdonald style.
yeah, exactly,
Yeah.
like a pun, no punchline
Is
type
there a
story.
shaggy do is there a literal Shaggy Dog joke that's an example of those?
Probably, yeah. I don't
Yeah.
actually know.
Like the dog was shaggy or something. Yeah.
Yeah, Delicious Tacos has this amazing one that I always think about, but yeah, I won't try and retell it.
Speaking of brief interviews of hideous
With
men.
it, yeah.
That you do sometimes sympathize with while simultaneously knowing they're It
Oh
is.
yeah. No, I agree with you that we're meant to see, like, we're not meant to, but you probably see like little bits of yourself and here, right? Of like we have like manipulated someone, or at least thought about it or been capable of it or whatever, and you're like, yeah, you can recognize.
Or just that duality in situations where, you're like, yeah, you genuinely sympathize with someone, you're trying to have a serious conversation, but you can't help recognize
But she's
certain
got
like
big
physical
titties.
features or
No.
something, right? You're just like, it's like at least
Yeah, like
20% of your
there's
brain is
some
just like,
hot girl
oh, like
with tits who's like telling you something like heartfelt, and you like your heart goes out to her, but like a part of you
yeah.
is looking at the big tits and like kind of thinking about that, and kind of thinking maybe I'd just rather her stop talking about it, while knowing how much of an asshole that makes you. And
Nice.
all right, so this next one was about the
This
great
was in
lover,
Infinite Jest, right? Basically,
was it?
not the precise form of the story, but this theme was in Infinite
Because
Jest.
of oh yeah, sorry, Oren.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's right.
I think
And
who.
Oren was probably more of the guy that this guy was complaining about, right?
Yeah,
Exactly. No, Oren was this
He.
guy, and I'm trying to remember. Dude, I can't even remember the book. Who are the two guys talking on the mountain? For the
Himarath and
duration of the book,
Heusepli.
I think it was Marath talking about Oren who was making this point, if memory serves,
Oh, was it?
saying
Okay.
that he's.
I
I
think
don't
it
know
was also
why
the
I had that
narrator at one point,
association,
like
but.
when Oren was with the girls, and like anyway, maybe let's just spell it out. So like Oren was obsessed with pleasing women, but it was this kind of
There's like a
selfish reason
selfish.
to be an amazing lover, and then this guy's complaining about those types of toxic guys, and he's just saying, well, just think about yourself because that's
I
less
think this is a
selfish.
genuinely interesting insight that Wallace has
Yeah.
had, honestly, that I haven't heard anyone else make, and I think this exists. I think these archetypes exist for sure. And
Well, I one of my close friends, like shout out if he's listened to it, but like I always remember like he was the guy that this guy's complaining about. He's like focused on like
wait, what do you mean? Shout out if he's listening. Do you guys share these episodes with
no.
people?
We might eventually. We'll tell you though.
Oh shit. He'll tell me and then not care if I say don't do it.
Have
I'll just let you know.
to blank out the N-word
We're
for
all
now. Yeah, we
public
won't
now.
ask you, we'll tell you though.
Yeah.
But like, I
Nice.
keep thinking of that guy, man. Like, I
Wait,
and I.
is he seriously like this? Because this is like the caricatured version of it, right? Like.
Well, like it wasn't. I mean, he wasn't explicitly always going on of like, but like you could kind of tell like that was where his pride was of like, his notches were like how much he could make the girl come like with his tongue and stuff, and you could tell there's a bit of showing off like in our early 20s, and yeah, and it took the same form of the guy who pulled lots of ladies that maybe was less good in bed or something. But it was still the notches, yeah.
I think I have a bit of this in me, to be honest. I
Sure.
could view myself as like, yeah, some percentage
Ken
this person.
is the great lover.
So, yeah. Or at least wanting to be that way. Like I understand the impulse, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, I've just
Yeah.
accepted not being the great lover. What?
You've
It used to part of me wanted a little bit.
just reverted to the first guy, the Joe
Yeah.
Six Packs, as he calls
Yeah.
them.
The insight
Perfect.
here is that, like, yeah, you should be thinking about the other person's pleasure, but it's only selfish if you won't perform for them in the same way and let them feel special and let them feel like they're a great lover and they can give you pleasure, right?
Yeah.
Well,
Like
there's
you're
also
still
like
just
this,
serving
you
your
want them
own
to feel pleasure, but like
selfishness.
you also want to feel impressive and like being the one that's caused the pleasure and the great lover,
Yeah.
right? And like as soon as that starts faltering to like something she might want that maybe goes against the image of yourself.
Yeah. I don't think I'm at any risk of going this way because, like, I want to get my end away, man. I'm.
Well, okay, here's maybe an example. Like lots of girls these days, they like have vibrators, right? And you know, if you're concerned about the woman's pleasure, just making sure like you might use that to help. But like, you know, the guy would rather it be them, like achieving like, you know, 50 orgasms than like some vibrator. And but like, there doesn't seem something completely wrong about that either.
Yeah, it's about the disguising of acts of service, the disguising of your ego as acts of service, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And not being honest about what your motivations are for wanting to serve somebody. It's really
And part
about
of
you, not
the
about them.
depressing worldview is like maybe it's just like it feels impossible to ever escape that. Kind of seems to be all what the story's saying. It's like either you're the guy that's like just straightforwardly obsessed with getting your underwear? Like, is it possible to be genuinely altruistic, or like, or if you just want to seem that way, is that like the same thing?
There's a good nugget of actual advice in here, I think, which is
Absolutely.
if you want to be a really good lover, try to give the other person pleasure, but then also like make sure they feel like they're giving you a lot of pleasure and they can feel like a sex god or sex nymph or whatever you want to call it. You know, ham it up a little bit if need be or whatever. The same thing that women have probably been doing since forever, right? Like, stroking their fragile egos of their male lovers.
There'd be a good brief interview snippet about not performing in the moment and the girl having to deal with your insecurity, but like having to do it in like a particular way that I can imagine that'd be a good. So I've heard, so I've heard. That.
My friend was telling me
My
about
friend
it.
just says, "Well, yeah, it would be very relatable." So I've heard.
Yeah, how much of this book is David Wallace telling on himself?
Oh, definitely not entirely.
It's got to
But
be a
like
decent
embellishing.
chunk. This guy has got a turbo case of pathological self-consciousness,
Oh,
right?
fuck yeah.
It's
Yeah,
insane. Like, it
it's
makes me
insane.
feel normal. It's awesome.
And it's great because we get some great stories about it from it, but you wouldn't want to be like
I think the big undercurrent here throughout the book, from what I've read too, is kind of like the narcissism of being that way. I think he's talked about it in other books of a lot of like self-loathing and self-criticism is basically narcissism in disguise, where you think that people are thinking about you all the time when they're just not, because everyone's got their own lives to lead and
Well, I mean,
like they don't care. And if you, if you're too obsessed with how you're perceived in the world, it starts to blur into narcissism.
Yeah, I think that's the theme of the depressed person, as you know, and maybe we should just
Yeah, we should just
keep on
wrap it
that
up. I
for a little
might
bit.
not have that much longer, so should we?
Well, why don't we keep riffing off that comment there on the depressed person, and then we'll,
Yeah, just dive into it.
because yeah, I mean, that seems to be the big takeaway here. That, I mean, I did wonder, like, one reading is maybe she's not depressed and she's just narcissistic, like, if there's a difference and she's faking.
So can I just say my little spiel about this? Because I had this funny experience reading this where
If you must talk about yourself, you can.
thank you. Well, now I feel self-conscious.
Well, I feel good about myself for allowing you to.
You're such a good guy. So like I found this incredibly boring, like devastatingly boring. And I sort of tapped out. And I tried to read it again. And I was trying to think about, like, I mean, I obviously thought it was autobiographical on account of how he topped himself. And I thought it just doesn't feel like it was not how I imagined David Foster Wallace's depression to be. Like, I couldn't imagine him having the gumption to be like constantly calling up friends or even like any depressed person. It seems it doesn't really accord with my perception of depression. So I was bamboozled by it. And then I read a bit of commentary on it, and I realized that it's meant to be like a satire of people who purport to be depressed but are kind of like hiding their narcissism behind it.
Oh,
So,
really?
yeah, he was like
Interesting.
making fun of this particular person. And then I was like, oh, it all makes sense now. So he might have even been in denial about his own depression. He was like roasting depressed people in the story.
Well, one of my reactions was, yeah, this seems to be one of the few times where he's like not sympathetic to the character at all. And maybe that's like a slight exaggeration, like at all, but like it's certainly they're coming across as not a good person. And it's like, holy shit, they're like fucking depressed. Like that, how could we not? And yeah, like maybe they're not depressed and they're narcissistic. I think that's definitely one read. I think another read is just like narcissism is not quite synonymous, but like a huge part of depression, and they're very what's the word, symbiotic or whatever. And maybe this person is more narcissistic than depressed. I mean, I've seen, and maybe they're just narcissists, but like I've seen this in some people of like wanting constant reassurance and like using their sadness to sort of get that, and like, and maybe it's mainly narcissists, but like these people are kind of suffering as well, and it's like this tragic double bind of like this person's like no fun to be around, and that makes them depressed, and then they seek reassurance, and then like you feel really sorry for them, and then you like, and then they do something that reminds you of why no one likes hanging out with them in the first place, and they annoy you.
So it is an accurate portrayal as well, right?
I think there's aspects of that. I mean, I imagine this, like his other portrayals of depression weren't so focused on this, like with Kate Convert and Infinite
Yeah.
Jest.
But I think there is an element of depression where you can't help. I
Yeah,
mean, almost
definitely.
definitionally, being depressed has something to do with being caught
It's
inside your own
narcissistic.
head, right? And so in some sense, I mean, narcissism is a very loaded term, but just in the sense of being like constantly trapped, thinking about how sad you are and how much the world sucks and wanting to escape that. That's a state where you're not thinking about other people, you're thinking about yourself. So in that sense, I can see the bijection between narcissism and depression. It's interesting though, because I finished the story and I was also a bit at a loss about how to interpret it. So I also looked up some commentary on it, and I found some people claiming that it represented their depression extremely well. Like at least one essay where the person was like, wow, it was hard for me to put into words how I was feeling while I was depressed, and David Foster Wallace has done that. So now I'm not sure whether to think, was this person just narcissistic all along? Or like what was going on here? And I mean, I do agree with the general critique that it's rare to find a depressed person who's constantly like calling their friends every night. So in that sense, I think that's some evidence in favor of just
This is like
narcissism.
exaggerated.
But certainly there's an element of you feel like maybe you want to talk to people, but you're afraid to bug them, and
Oh, no,
so
I related to
like
that. Like when
you're
I've had down
scared to.
periods.
And even
And you
then, if
know
you
that
do
you're
find a
bothering
little
them.
bit of space to talk to them, you kind of hedge a bit. You're like, if I'm ever being annoying, just tell me to fuck off, and that's fine, and like you're still unable to sort of open up in this way.
And you kind of mean
Yeah,
that, but
so
you kind of don't. Yeah, like you don't want them to actually tell
like
you to
you
fuck
want them
off.
to tell you, of course, that
No,
they're
yeah,
always
I
there for
definitely
you,
related
but
to that in a milder sense. I think there's probably different types of depression that, and there's this kind of narcissistic type as well that's demonstrated here, and it's maybe just narcissism, but like at the end of the day this person's probably suffering, so like you can
Yeah, that's
call
right.
it
Yeah,
something
that's
else if you
another way to
want,
look
but it's
at it.
like yeah, like but there's just this sympathetic, there's this non-sympathetic aspect to it where this person does not care that this other person that was suffering and just killed themselves, they have no
Which you find
ounce.
out in a footnote, right?
I
Which
know,
is
and
kind of
that's
funny.
kind of interesting, but I think again it's kind of annoying with all these footnotes, but like it's kind of fitting for this person
No, it is.
who's narcissistic, and then it's just like this
Like the
footnote. By
important
the way,
details are actually shoved into the footnotes, and the
yeah.
rest of it is
By the
just
way, this
her
person
like
killed
about her
herself.
psychology.
Yeah, I forgot to set up the context for my reading was the same as yours, Benny. That I'd heard about this story before, and I heard people say like, "Oh, if you want to understand what it's like to be depressed, you have to read this
Was it about
story
this
of a
story or
depressed
about Wallace?
about this story."
Oh,
So
because
I.
he's got another one called The Bad Thing, and then he's got Infinite Jest, obviously.
Oh, well, I'm possibly confusing it, but then yeah, afterwards I read like it has like its own Goodreads page, and people were like, "Oh, this is so apt." And so when I started reading it, I was like, "Oh, here we go, classic Wallace. He's perfectly finding his way into someone's head and sharing this subjective experience." And it seems like I buy it, and it seems pretty plausible, and it's interesting, all the double binds and so on. And then it gets grotesque because it just goes on, and it becomes so
It's a bit
repetitive.
long.
And
Yeah.
but that
And
does
she
capture, I
becomes like a
suppose.
caricature, and that's when I sense it becoming turning into like a parody or a critique or something other than like an accurate, perfectly accurate representation, where it's like a bit barbed and maybe slightly mocking the subject where he normally doesn't do that. And or I mean, not normally, but like he doesn't necessarily always do that. So in that sense, it could. You know, people could read it differently, right? They could get so caught up by the accuracy of the depiction at first that they don't notice when it starts actually kind of like mocking the subject or like pointing out what a fucking awful person they are.
It is kind of sad in a sense, though. It's like it's kind of accurately pointing out how awful this person is, but like it'd be terrible. You wouldn't want to be them. And like, and Wallace
Yeah,
himself
absolutely.
obviously suffered with depression. So shit, like even he's just like fucking calling it out.
Don't you guys think that if you copped to identifying with this person where you're like, oh my God, this is exactly explains my experience of depression, that would be a massive self-own, because it's about this person who like their mom and dad argued about their orthodontistry or something, and then they go to like this thing about releasing their inner child, and they're fixated on it, and they harangue their friends, and like their therapist kills herself and they don't even care, and Don't you feel like that would be embarrassing?
It is a bit, but I think that's part of it though as well. It's like there's a very, I mean, if you want to be really honest, like there's a really negative aspect about a narcissistic aspect about depression. And like these days, you know, it's this kind of like, oh, you know, like.
Is there, like, I've never had depression, so I don't really know, but like I've been thinking of it as more like the Kate Gompert thing, where like you just feel this like a crushing weight on your chest and you can't do anything and nothing feels good. And I haven't been
Well, I
thinking
think this
about it like
person potentially
this.
feels like that as well. But I think that's kind of, I related to aspects of this of when I'm in down periods, I want to reach out to people. I know I'm bugging them and I know like I need that as this like reassurance. And then like, I know I'm a, and I'm aware of that dynamic and I made it clear. And like this realization that no one's actually thinking about you all that much. And like, you're very alone. And then you like, you try to bridge that by like bothering people. I definitely related to that. But yeah, as other descriptions focus more on this kind of like trapped cage of every atom in your body feeling sick.
Yeah, I don't know. I would like to talk in person to someone who's like suffered pretty major depression and see how much they relate to this. I'd be curious. I do agree that when you just lay out the facts like that, it sounds like a major self-own. But then again, I mean, you know, depression is very complicated. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't think anyone knows, you know, exactly where it came from or what the causes were. And so, yeah, it could be something as silly as your parents fighting over your orthodontistry when you're a kid.
Do you guys think it could have been cut? Because, like, I honestly struggled so hard to read it. I found it so boring because he makes all of these points right up top, including the bit about feeling bad about calling people and, you know, like all of this kind of insights. He makes these points fairly quickly and then it just goes on and on and on. And all I could think was it's meant to be some kind of like metafictional device of where the form of the story itself is meant to be hammering home the relentless drudgery of being depressed and
Yeah. No, I
wading
think that's it.
through muck and mire, and I'm like, okay, well, I get it, but it's not like very fun to read. I feel like you could read the first few pages, just 2 or 3 pages, and then be like, okay, I got all the
Yeah,
insights.
you're probably better off reading a little bit and then discussing about it, and then you've kind of got that life for life. But yeah, I think you're right. That's the reason for it. Like, as Zadie Smith's interpretation of this book, that you're like, you're running the procedure of someone else's mind, and this is like this particular person's mind, and that. There's all these recursions and repetition and repetitions and loops. Anyway, actually, what you just said then reminded me one quick thing about the depressed person that was funny is like it was also kind of poking fun at psychotherapy and like therapists and like the therapist talk. Like, you know, there's always mess like capitals like some part of her support team or support system and like and just shit like that that like doesn't seem to help all that much.
Have you guys been paying attention to Abigail Schreier's criticisms of therapy? She's been on a recent podcast circuit talking to people about it, like Colman Hughes. And it's worth listening to, I think. Like, even woke stuff aside, I think there is a general culture of like everyone should go to therapy. Like, if you're a healthy, happy person, you should be going to therapy because everyone needs someone to talk to. That's a good pushback against that sort of thinking. Freddie DeBoer has a similar critique. He puts it in different ways, but he also makes those
Yeah.
criticisms. It's not good to have a culture that just valorizes therapy.
I'm definitely sympathetic to that. I found it a bit hard to remove from culture wars because it was part of it feels gendered that like it's kind of a feminized way of dealing with things and like it's the classic like part of a toxic masculinity is like just keeping your emotions and not being honest with them and but part of that's good, like being a bit stoic, but it can go too far and therapy can be good as well. Like, I think there's nuance, but I'm definitely sympathetic to the over-reliance of it. Like, you can see jokes now, like, if he doesn't go to therapy, it's, like, not worth dating. And, like, kind of, part of me feels like it should be the opposite. No, he's going to therapy, but something's wrong with
I feel
him.
like the depressed person is the proto version of this, right? Her problems all stem from like what I would meanly describe as like fake trauma of constantly victimizing herself over nothing.
Yeah, I think that's right, but here's the irony of it all is that it causes genuine fucking suffering and trauma.
Yeah, no, but
It's like
that's what
very
I'm
hard to get
saying.
out
That's
of.
what I'm saying. It's like this argument that I don't know, Abigail, but maybe. The argument that I've heard that I agree with is like the cruelest thing that you can do to people is convince them that they are perma victims and like and continuously pick scabs and continuously like search for reasons why you are oppressed or why like you ought to feel angry or aggrieved.
Yeah, and like there's also this incentive thing with therapists, right? Where you kind of like keep coming back. and like it just could enable like toxic behaviors and like and everything's so ideological now as well. Like I got a friend who's studying therapy. He like left his old, he left his old fuck. The guy that came over to your house momentarily, Harry, but
Yeah.
he's like gone back to university therapy. But like even he's just saying like it's the ideology there is pretty strong, and he's not a cultural war warrior at all. Like if anything, he's like he's left one. But like he said, it's like there's fuck all guys, and like there's this censorious thing where you're like not allowed to. And he goes to a therapist because part of it is, I think it's recommended you kind of go to fill it out. And he brought it up to his therapist, and she kind of disclosed to him that like this is what she's really worried about. Like you kind of can't be honest about certain.
Have you guys ever been to therapy before?
Yeah, once. And then I was too worried I was gonna kill myself, so I never went back.
It's
I'm only half
the
joking there.
ultimate diss when your therapist kills himself. Hey? You're like, oh,
Oh yeah.
come
Jesus.
at my lowest point, I like found a therapist and emailed them, and I was like, I need some help. Can I make an appointment? Set up an appointment. And then the next day, I like felt marginally better, and I was like, "Nah, I don't need this," and I just canceled
Yeah, I fucking wish I
it.
did that.
So I've still got a perfect record. It's real healthy
Yeah.
behavior, but honestly, maybe it is. I'm fine now. What if she'd kept me on the hook for ages?
Yeah. I found
And
it totally useless to as just one data point. Like I thought it was super fucking didn't help at all.
did you go for like an extended period of time? We just had a couple of sessions.
I went throughout the summer because I was dealing with I
Oh, the
mean
breakup.
it's possible also that like I was going for relationship stuff because I got the summer was rough for me because like I was just trying to figure out if I wanted to stay in this long-term relationship and doing all this shit. So it's possible that just wasn't the right issue to go to therapy for. Like I don't know.
That seems like a classic issue to go. I mean, here's one of my problems though, and like maybe it's self-serving, but I feel like sometimes if you've got like smart friends, moral friends, like you can get a lot of the value from them. Now there's this thing where
Yeah.
they're not professionals, so like maybe not getting everything you need, and a professional do that. But like, I don't know, like the
Yeah.
average therapist like isn't necessarily going to be like a super impressive person, right? Like maybe you get someone really good, but like the average anybody's like not that impressive, and like. I mean, this is what good
Yeah.
old Neon deals with, right? Like where like the kid's smarter than the therapist and
Yeah,
can always outmaneuver them. And you kind of need to meet your match to get any value.
or if you have any kind of introspective practice at all, like you're capable of like writing down your feelings in a journal or meditating or anything, then I'm not sure if you had like a
Yeah.
fairly conventional breakup and you have access to your own emotions and you can put names on them and stuff. Like, feel like you can kind of do that work yourself,
Yep.
and then it would be maybe hard for a therapist to add much value, as well as the fact that mostly it's just fine to feel sad and angry and all the rest, and it will just eventually resolve over time
Yeah.
because things mean revert, and
That
it's
said,
only
I think you could
pathological if it doesn't mean
be
revert,
good ones
right?
that could really help
Yeah.
and just help kind of coach you and see what your
Yeah.
hang-ups are. And so it probably can help. The median pace of going to therapy maybe doesn't. I don't know. Like, I'm pretty sure research shows like just exercising is like really strong, and like dancing is like maybe up there. Like, by the way, Benny, like good job, keep it up.
I saw that. Did you see, are
Yeah,
you pulling that from Twitter somewhere? I forgot where I saw that. It's like,
it's,
made
yeah.
me a little suspicious because
You
the
keeping
error
up?
bar, it was like dancing was like an order. It was like so
I know, it's
much
crazy.
more than
I mean,
anything.
it's just that motherfucking
Oh my
dancing,
God.
man. But funnily
Dancing,
enough,
rock climbing, Popperian epistemology, the top three.
yeah.
That's why I'm the
Yeah,
happiest
Buffer, Dave
motherfucker
Pasquale.
around here. Also, I mean, did you actually read how the study was done? Like, I'm assuming, did they actually make people go dance who were not feeling good? Or did they just look at people who danced and say
Yeah,
how good
well,
all
I'm
these
not
people
sure if it
feel?
was causal or associative.
Because I mean, if it's associated, that's, yeah. Like, who do you think's
If Dan
dancing? Like,
dances
who do you think
happy,
the people, yeah, like the people going
you
out to
watch Lord of
dance
the
are happy
Dance, and I
to.
get that. I did think of David Foster Wallace in that movie. So like he goes does the fucking Christian square dancing and shit. And like there's just this moment of him like he's kind of lost in it, feeling good.
Although wasn't the isn't the consensus that he was actually going to rehab, but what, like in that was just his excuse
In the movie.
that the movie got it wrong, that the movie's interpretation, like he told David Lipsky that he was going, oh,
Not
that's too
me.
much, we don't like PDAs around
Yeah,
here
PDA,
for
bro.
us. Yeah, I'm
Yeah.
single, you're not allowed to do that until I also have a girlfriend.
You end up with another baby.
No big deal.
That's the cure to depression, man.
That's probably
This
true,
is
to
the
be
cure to
honest.
depression.
Wife and baby.
Little cute baby.
Honestly, that is, I'm sure it is.
Sorry, I interrupted.
You're like living for someone else, right? Like, I mean, that's like got to be the best cure for.
Well, it's hard to
I
be
think.
narcissistic when you're. Yeah, you're just like.
Yeah, you're
It's
gonna look
very
after this little human.
important that you keep someone else alive and happy. And yeah,
Yeah.
do you agree? Yeah, she agrees.
Sometimes I forget you have a baby. Since we talked so long without your baby. Yeah, you know, when I see it, I'm like, oh man, your life is actually so much different than mine right now.
Yeah.
Like, even when you come and stay, like when we hang out, like it feels like your life's similar, man.
Well, I forget
that
as
must
well.
Be so different.
I forget.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
Imagine
nice,
you do when you're
actually.
not around it for a bit.
Well, so, like, as she sleeps through the night, I'll wake up in the morning and just be like, ah, and then I'll be like, oh shit.
Whip up
I'm
the computer. Yeah, fucking hell, man. Do some writing. Jeez.
No, I just remember that I have a child.
I can imagine doing
it. Trips
that.
Me
yeah,
out.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. And then
trips
you're
me
like, oh
out.
shit, the baby.
But it's not like, no, not like I have, not like, oh shit, I got a responsibility. Like, oh, like she probably needs to be fed or changed or whatever. I'm just like, oh my God, I procreated. I forgot
Oh,
about
okay.
that.
Man.
Yeah, because, you know, I
Yeah,
spent my
wow.
whole life not having a child. It takes a while to sink in. It takes at
I'm
least
sure.
8 months and counting.
Damn.
You quickly want to do wagon or you got to go, Benny?
I gotta go. I mean, I didn't read past the press person, so I don't know what they're
Okay, my
talking
bad.
about, to be honest. Yeah. All right. See you, boys.
See you later.
Later.